Hello, this is Coach Aaron Saft and the Running is Life podcast. And today is my race recap of the Heartbreaker 50 Miler, which just took place this past Saturday. And that was March 23rd of 2024. It is a great course. We share many of the same trails as Hellbender. Just, you know, some slight variations to the course, some things we don't do on Hellbender, and we'll kind of go through and talk about the course itself and, you know, everything leading up to it. It was a nice day. Not ideal weather, but nothing you can do about that, right? So you just have to prepare for it. I found myself on Friday, kind of getting my stuff together, making sure I had enough drop bags and bringing enough nutrition. I was just going to make my drop bags up when I got to Camp Greer, which is where the race starts, and I was staying overnight. So loading all my gear, I went to track practice, kind of wanted to meet up with my kids because this week is their spring break, so kind of wanted to see them one more time before I left and just do a few things with them. So went to practice. Afterwards, I grabbed a pizza for dinner. So I had some food, stopped by Ingles and picked up some snacks and some things to put in my drop bags. I'll kind of talk about those in a little bit here. Grabbed some cold brew coffee. So I had a cooler with me, brought some drinks to hydrate with, as well as the cold brew and a protein drink for afterwards. So just trying to think of and cover all my bases. Brought a Pop-Tart to have for breakfast the morning of, just in case I was hungry. Just like I said, you know, just a few snacks just in case I got kind of hungry. But got to Camp Greer around 6 p.m. It was raining, so just drove in, planned on car camping. I just had an air mattress for the back of my Subaru, so just got there and headed towards Packet Pickup. They weren't checking our mandatory gear because the mandatory gear list had changed. Up at Mount Mitchell, the weather forecast was looking pretty tough. A lot of precipitation and some colder temps, so 30-degree temperatures and precipitation, so not ideal circumstances or weather situation. So they added a few items to make sure that we were covered, and I was glad I did because I used all of those items. And again, we'll kind of go through some of this stuff and talk about, you know, what we had to pack and what was in there. So, went to pack a pickup, checked in. Brandon Thrower had his pre-race meeting, got to see some friends and talk to some friends, and then headed back to my car. It was probably around 7 p.m. by that time, and two of my athletes, Tara Wind and Jay Parra, were stationed right next to me. They showed up. I looked over, and I saw Jay and popped my head out the car and sat and talked with them for a while. Noticed it was getting on to be close to 8 o'clock, and I still haven't made my drop bags. So, I excused myself and got into my car, got my bedroll out, got myself ready, and then started working on my drop bags. I had a time chart from Ultra Pacer, and I had to set for 12 hours. 12 hours was my goal for this one. Just kind of wanted to go easy and just see where I was at, both my climbing legs and my endurance. So I set up it based on the logistics of Ultra Pacer, looking at the times and the splits as to what to expect time-wise between each aid station. Now, my family was supposed to meet me up at Mount Mitchell. That was the plan, but I still made a drop bag for Mount Mitchell just in case anything happened and they didn't make it up there. Foreshadowing. I got all my drop bags together. I put in, I was using Morton powder, so I filled my bottles with the powder so that all I had to do at the aid stations was crack open the top and then have them fill it with water, put my top back on, and I was good. I was using Morton 100 calorie gels and Spring. I had both Canterbury 100 calorie and Awesome Sauce 180 calorie. And so the plan, as is for Hellbender, is to go every hour or so, depending on how I felt, you know, probably be getting with an hour alternating Morton gel with a spring gel, you know, so Morton gel 1 hour, spring gel the next hour. And then I was using Morton 160 as my, my hydration. With that said, I started with three bottles. I had three bottles, 17 ounce, ultra flask, kind of soft flasks, if you will, with my Advanced Skin 12, Salomon Advanced Skin 12 pack. And I just started, I figured it was going to take me about 3 hours and 47 minutes to get over to Neal's Creek. And that's where our first drop bag was, roughly about, I guess somewhere around 15 miles. I believe it's maybe 14 and a half to 15 miles to Neal's Creek. But that's where our first drop bag was. So I had a drop bag ready for Neal's Creek. What I realized in the middle of the night, going back to my preparation phase, getting these drop bags ready, I woke up in the middle of the night realizing I had forgot to create a drop bag for Salto. I probably should have just got up and made it, because it was one of those panic moments where you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I forgot. And I probably should have just made it and put my brain at ease. The rain, continued all night long. Just made it, you know, tough. I felt like I had to go pee the entire night just because of that. But, you know, I did get some sleep. It was decent. I didn't wake up tired. I actually woke up way before my alarm, probably because I still thought about, having to make that Salto drop bag. I needed to fill my bottles with water, just some, you know, last minute things. I had to go to bag check at 4:30. And that's where we'll talk about mandatory gear kit. But so body woke me up. I can remember 3:37. I looked at my watch and I was like, all right, I'll get up and get moving. Wasn't hungry. You know, I made my drop bags and, started watching. I had downloaded a few shows on my phone, started watching one of the shows, and I fell asleep actually, watching the show. So I probably fell asleep somewhere around 9 PM, maybe even a little bit earlier. But I passed out. So I did get some sleep, which was good. And, waking up that early again, wasn't really hungry, just, you know, took care of business, got my bottles filled up. We had to carry either a winter hat or a buff. And, let's see, we had to have a waterproof jacket, an extra base layer, gloves, a whistle, at least, I think it was, I want to say like 35 ounces of potential fluid on us, calories, emergency blanket. Pretty decent kit. So made sure all of that was in my bag, filled up my bottles, like I said, loaded my pack, grabbed my spare headlamp. Of course we had to have a headlamp and spare batteries and our phone, plus the GPS unit, which they were going to give us at check-in. So made my way over to check-in, showed them my kit and I grabbed my GPS tracker. Realized that I still needed a few things from back at the car. Had plenty of time. Had, you know, a little over a half hour. So went back to the car and, I just made sure I lubed up. I had my ankle brace, needed my gloves. My poles were already on my pack, but I needed my gloves. I have the Leckies, so I get the half gloves and they have the loop to connect into the Shark Grip system. So made sure I had everything. I was wearing, I was going to wear kind of a synthetic tech, polytech shirt. And just decided I was feeling like a chill, like it wasn't warm enough. And I had my rain jacket on, but it just didn't feel like I was warm enough. So I actually changed my base layer, my shirt, if you will, to a thinner smart wool base layer. And it worked right away. I don't know if it was just the natural fiber, it warmed me up right away. And I felt comfortable, not hot, So I changed my base layer. And then I started, I used the new Terraflies. Innovate has their new line of shoes out. I talked about it, you know, previously, but, I got the Terrafly, lights from FootRx and, I started with those. So, you know, I wanted to kind of get some miles on those, see how they felt, how they reacted. And so I used those for my shoes. I had the new Lecky poles, the FX1 Super Light Ultra. They were fantastic. And I'll talk more about, you know, the poles and everything. But yeah, so that's my main gear. My Petzl Swift RL, I used that at the start. It was dark. It was a 5:30 a.m. start, so had to have my headlight on early. It was raining. I didn't have my light belt, but we only had a small section of single track from Camp Greer that brought us out to Jarrett Creek Road, and then Jarrett Creek Road we would take over to Curtis Creek Road to the aid station, and then we'd start heading up Snooks, and you know, daylight would start to break on Snooks. So I was okay with just the Swift RL. In Hellbender, I'll definitely be using my Ultra Aspire 850 belt, but here the Swift RL worked just fine, and I carried an extra battery pack as a backup just in case. The tracker went up on my shoulder like it usually does. I probably should have used the Velcro strap. I'll tell you why in a bit, but I'm sorry. I keep referencing these things and say I'll get to them, but I want to kind of stay in order and not get too sidetracked. We're at the start, you know, said good luck to a bunch of friends, and it continued to rain. But you know, everything was good to go. So we started from Camp Greer, headed out, and we're heading out the road, and you know, the front pack took off, and I was, you know, like I said, that was not my goal. I was not there to take off. So I just kind of, you know, took my time, started running, and you know, funny enough, there was this gentleman that I noticed running in front of me. And you know, little did I know this gentleman would be with me from start to almost finish. His name was Laban, comes from Chattanooga, and he was a great part of my day. I'll talk more about Laban, but from the start, this gentleman was always around me. So you'll hear more about Laban as the story continues. But so we're running down the road, and all of a sudden we see two headlamps coming back at us. the race leaders and eventual winner, Tim Nooney, they missed the turn. So they came flying back and then ripped up the single track. So, you know, we're running on a single track. It's pretty quiet. You know, here we are just after 5:30 in the morning. It's dark, and I had started with my friend Michael Patton, but he felt like he was going a little bit too fast. So he pulled off, backed off smartly, as you know, as he should have, and went back. And so I was just kind of running and trying to make conversations. I said, anybody preparing for Hellbender? And a voice from the darkness behind me says, yeah, I am. And I was like, who's behind me? And it was Val McKenna, who she's just a wonderful runner. I love her husband. Her husband's a good friend. I've known him forever. He was one of my reps at Footer X. And so Val is an amazing runner in her own right. And Val would be around me for the entire day as well. So really happy to share some time with her. She's awesome. She ended up taking second place female and finished place behind me. And we'll talk about that later on. You know, we had a great group. Natalie Halepin, she was there. She's also a new Patreon supporter. Thank you, Natalie. Appreciate that greatly. But you know, she was running with me, met some new folks, which was really cool. I got to look up a gentleman from New Hampshire. He's actually doing the Grand Slam. So we talked a bit about the Grand Slam. He was asking me questions about the Grand Slam. So I need to find out, I believe his name is Peter. So I have to look that up and see if I can find him in the results and reach out to him. So, you know, we can connect, but that was fun running on our way to Curtis Creek. I didn't feel like we were going too hard. I felt, you know, really easy, but I also didn't want to get caught up in anybody else's race. You know, I could tell, people were kind of, you know, just kind of, moving along, and, you know, my plan was to run my race. So, funny enough, there was another gentleman, he's from, Moscow, Russia, Dmitry, and Dmitry was right in front of me too. And I would see him for the remainder of the day as well. Super cool guy. He helped me, so much at the, first year of Hellbender and the second year. And actually, he talked about how it was his, one of his only two DNFs was he ran the third year and made it to mile 70 before dropping. But, got to hear from Dimitri quite a bit that day, which was fantastic. So it was really cool, you know, because like I said, a number of these people I saw for the remainder of the day. Laban, who I mentioned, Dimitri, and Val, the four of us, we were just, you know, almost inseparable throughout the day. We did get some separation at times, but we'd always come back together and see each other. So pretty cool. I saw a port-a-john, a pit toilet, if you will, on the way to Curtis Creek. I just decided to pull off. I'm like, hey, guys, go on. You know, I'm just going to do my thing here. And I really didn't need to, but I kind of wanted to just, you know, separate myself from them, get into my own space and take my own pace. And I think some of them actually did the same thing when they got to Curtis Creek as well. We all kind of broke up. I didn't see Natalie after that. I actually thought Natalie was up ahead of me. And I guess she took a pit stop there too. And was behind me, but I didn't know that. But anyhow, got to the Curtis Creek aid station. And like I said, everything was fine. I was feeling great. Friend Craig Marshall was there running the aid station. It was great to see him and talk to those guys. I really didn't need anything at that point. So I just kind of turned on the snook nose, cracked out my poles. Michael caught up to me, Michael Patton, and we started going up Snook's Nose together, and he looked strong. I was like, wow, he's looking good. And so we're working up Snook's Nose, and then he says to me, hey, Aaron, why don't you just go ahead? He said, I'm not feeling as strong on the climb. I said, okay. So I started going up Snook's Nose, and then ran into a local runner, Justin, and you know, he was telling me all the stories about what he's been up to, which is super cool. Super nice to share some miles with him, and just enjoying our time out on Snooks. The sun was coming up, headlamps you got to be turned off, which was fantastic. Always love when the dawn is bright enough that you can shut off your headlamp and just start to enjoy the day. But we were making our way up Snooks, and around Snooks Nose proper, those guys stopped for some pictures, and I was like, hey guys, I'm just gonna, you know, continue on, do my thing. And, I just kept moving, and, just kind of created some space. Didn't see those guys again for the rest of the day. Then caught up to Val. And Val and I stayed together. We ended up going up and getting to the parkway, and there's like water aid station there. I just kind of threw out some trash again, didn't really need anything. Saw my friend Jason Tischer out of Raleigh and caught up with Jason. He's actually doing Tour de Jeanse, so got to talk for him with a few minutes until we hit the climb for Green Knob, and he's like, hey man, just go ahead. He's like, I'll catch you guys later. So we moved on, Val and I, and we're going up and over Green Knob, and started a descent, and we caught up with Laban and Dimitri. So the four of us kind of stuck together, made our way all the way to Neil's Creek together. We got into Neil's Creek, and that's where I had my drop bag. Pulled out my bottles. I said to the volunteers, "My powder's in here. All I need is water." And I think it was Chris Bland popped open the bottle, and the powder went everywhere. and Chris, thank you. He was so kind on Strava. He's like, "You didn't change a bit. You know, your face didn't change. Your demeanor didn't change." And he's right. I didn't let it bother me. I mean, what can you do? I made a joke of it. I put it into lines like I was going to snort the cocaine, just as a joke. I was like, "All right, let's do this." And took a big sniff, and I didn't inhale any powder or anything, of course, but just joking around to make light of it. I wanted to make sure everybody knew it was all good. You know, we're here to have fun. That's the way it should be. I just told them, yeah, just fill it with water. It's fine. I'll be fine. But they filled it with scratch, unfortunately. Maybe it was a mistake. Maybe they just thought I needed the calories. I had plenty of calories in my pack. Actually grabbed a king-size Snickers, which was one of my treats from my drop bags. So I had that, you know. I was like, I told them, I said, I have plenty of calories, you know, don't worry about it. Little did I know they put scratch in. They didn't let me know that they put scratch in. We put my bottles in. I dumped off my empty bottles, put them back in my drop bags, emptied out my trash, resecured all my food and my hydration, And then Val was ready, so we just started making our move. We started running. We had Salto River Road all the way to the Mitchell Trail. So we were just running along, enjoying it, talking, enjoying it. And we got to the trail that runs along the river just before Mitchell. And I was like, hey, Val, go right ahead. I'm just going to try to get one of these Snickers bars down. King size Snickers come in two different bars. So I was like, I'm going to eat one of these before we climb. Wanted to get that down and get some good calories in me before that big climb. So I was like, I'll catch up. Don't worry about it. So, you know, she started up. I think Dimitri came by, and I believe Laban came by. And I just got my bar down, took my time to get that down so I wasn't climbing and trying to eat. and then, you know, got back to it, caught back up to Val. And I, you know, I told Val, I said, hey, just hang on me, just, you know, jump on my back and climb with me. And she started to, but then, you know, I she wasn't feeling the climb as much. So she dropped back, and I got into step behind, Laban, and Laban and I just, you know, started, working together, talking. We talked the whole way and enjoyed our climb up, all the way up, the aid station, which was at, the Buncombe Horse Trail. They had an aid station, just a remote aid station set up at that turn. And Laban stopped to grab some fluid, and I said, I'm just going to continue on. Great job. I'm sure he'll catch up. So, but I felt so good on Buncombe Horse. I just, you know, was running, was feeling good. Saw my friend Ann Wheatley, now Ann George, and you know, I wasn't so sure she was feeling too good. I know she took off a little bit faster, but you know, it didn't look like she was running how she wanted to. So I believe she dropped at the Mount Mitchell aid station. The water on the Buncombe Horse Trail was so cold. Oh my gosh, my feet were just wet and frozen, because anybody that knows the Buncombe Horse Trail knows that trail is nefariously wet all the time. No matter what time of year, no matter what the conditions are, it is wet. And you know, it looks like they still had some melt off. There was still some ice on the rocks and such, not necessarily on the ground, but it was definitely cold. Temperature was definitely getting colder. You know, we're climbing, obviously we're getting to the higher elevations, so the temperature's dropping. And I mean, I had my half gloves on for my poles, but I was running well. I felt really good. I was moving well, passed a few people there, and got to, Big Tom. Before I knew it, I was at Big Tom, and I was like, oh, we're here. So we go up Big Tom, and, Big Tom, for those that are not familiar, is basically a 3/4 mile stretch in which you gain somewhere between 800 and 900 feet, which is insane. It's just straight up. It's an old creek bed, very technical, very muddy because it had been raining and people had been going up it. So, you know, I dug in my poles and I'm digging in my poles, and, you know, I kid you not, my right pole, I went to stab the ground. There's, you know, a mound of grass that I went to stab into to pull myself up. And my pole went down almost to the handle, the cork handle itself, and it threw me forward, and my pole snapped. My brand new Leckies. Now, you know, thank God Leckies have such a great warranty. I had just bought these. I submitted it this past weekend, and they already got back to me today saying they're going to replace them. They're back in stock with my size, so I actually bought another pair. So just in case anything happens, I've got two pairs, so I can, you know, I can stick one with my crew just in case. That way, I've got backups. Also, ordered a new pair of the half gloves. I tore mine up this race between the rocks and such, which I'm about to talk about. My knuckles are like, they're pretty, they're pretty scarred over right now from the rocks and such from climbing. But we'll get to that in just a moment. But the Leckie, half gloves, I love those with the poles. I tried the BOA this time. They didn't have my size in the regular Velcro closure, half gloves. And by half gloves, I'm talking about the fingerless gloves. I'm not talking about the little, ones that they come with that just kind of go across your palm. These are actually gloves. They're just fingerless gloves. You can find them on the Leckie site as well. But they have a pair that are BOA, so I'm going to give those a try. So I'll keep you posted on how those do. But thank you, Lucky, for having such a wonderful warranty. I love the fact that, you know, these broke. Well, I love the fact that I could replace them so easily. I hate the fact that I broke them. Obviously, not my intention to have a new pair break. But yeah, they broke going up big time, which always hurts a little bit. It's, you know, I'd be lying if I said that I wasn't a little bit just beaten down a little bit by that. So got up big time, and it was kind of an about face from how I felt at the bottom, you know, running across Buncombe Horse Trail. I just felt so good, but I got to the top of big time and I just felt exhausted. I tried to get some food down. I was like, you know, maybe I'm bonking here, but I was just worn out. And Big Palm is just a tough climb. So I'm not sure if it was the combination of running a little too hard on Buncombe Horse Trail. Maybe I needed a little bit more calorie in the section between my Snickers and Big Palm, but whatever it was, I got to the top and got onto the crest, and I was tired. There was a guy that was right in front of me up the climb for Big Tom, but then I never saw him again. You know, he was wearing an outfit I couldn't forget, but I did not see that gentleman for the rest of the day. So I'm not sure what happened to him, whether he finished or did not, but yeah, I never caught him. So I'm not sure if I passed him in the aid station and then he never passed back. I have no clue. But he was right ahead of me. So anyway, pole snapped, put my poles in my pack, got up to the Crest Trail. Those that are not familiar with the Crest Trail between Big Tom and Mount Mitchell, which is where we were headed, it is a very, very technical section. It was wet from the rain. It was very cold. It's very rocky. There's a lot of bouldering. There's two sections where there are rope ties, and you have to, you know, hopefully use the rope to help you get up to the top. But with how cold it was, the dexterity of my hands was so limited. I was having a hard time, and a number of runners said the same thing. The wind is blowing across. You can just see the clouds being pushed, you know, sideways. It was blowing so hard. The trees were creaking. It was pretty tough up there. Pretty tough conditions, to be honest. I tried to get through. I was still warm enough. I just had my base layer on at that point. You know, I still had the wool shirt on. I hadn't put my jacket back on. I was warm enough. So, but I got into the Mount Mitchell aid station, and my family wasn't there, which was a surprise, obviously. So glad that I set up a drop bag there. I had gotten in there. I had texted them before I got into Neal Creek, letting them know I was a half hour ahead at Neal's Creek. So I wanted them to know, expect me early at Mount Mitchell. I actually got into Mount Mitchell 45 minutes ahead of my schedule. But with that said, you know, a little bit of a surprise having just broken my pole, having just gone across the crest, going through all of this weather, and then my family not being there. I had to really recollect myself. And so I stopped. Thank God I saw some friendly faces there. Dominic Laporte, Zach Brown. I mean, you know, it was just great to see these guys, some friendly faces, and they were wonderful. They were so great, so accommodating. I was cold, so I put on, I cracked open my gear kit, and, I put on my winter hat. I changed my base layer. I put on my jacket. I changed my socks. I changed into the Trail Fly, the regular version, because I wanted a little bit more cush for the backside. I knew the backside was going to be a lot of running. We were at about mile 22-ish, I believe, at Mount Mitchell. So, you know, roughly 28 miles to go with a lot of running. So put a little bit of extra cush under my foot, new socks, had them help me with my ankle brace. They helped me retie that because, again, my hands just weren't working yet. They retied my shoes. I put my poles in my drop bag, all my wet stuff in the drop bag, refilled my bottles. I had a few new candy bars up there. I had a Twix king size and a king size Payday. So I threw those in my pack. And this is where that tracker would have been handy to have that Velcro pouch, because Dominic, he was working with my pack and it fell out. And thankfully, he was cognizant enough that he was able to put it back in. He put it into his zipper pocket. I had no clue where it was, but he said, you know, it's in there. I said, okay, great. Unfortunately, the tracker, and for those of you that were tracking, no, it did not track well for me for whatever reason. I don't know if it shut off or what the problem was, but my family could not track me for most of the day. I think it was after Mount Mitchell that it turned back on. So perhaps Dominic in his, putting it away, he turned it back on, or it turned back on somehow. I'm not sure what happened, but it was not tracking properly, which, you know, obviously it can happen. It's happened to me in the past at Bigfoot. So only problem with technology is it's great until it doesn't work. but anyhow, so I had to recollect myself and say, okay, again, you know, things that are beyond your control, the poles are gone. You know, you're not gonna be able to use your poles. Your family didn't make it, but you know, let's just hope they're okay. I was trying not to worry about them. You know, that's the worst part, is like, you know, trying not to worry about them. I thought about getting a message out to them, but you know, again, I didn't want to, get too crazy and carried away and start thinking the worst. So I got going again. You then go across the parking lot for Mitchell. You summit, actually go to the summit, the observation tower, go to the top. With the weather, there was absolutely no view, so I didn't spend much time there at all. I just kind of started heading back down. Saw the next person coming back down the hill, and then got onto the trail, got off the summit, and technical descent for sure until we got back down to Buncombe Horse Trail. Then I was just trying to keep the feet dry for a moment. Decided it was time. You know, I had burned enough calories. I was kind of shaking at the aid station just because I was getting cold, I changed layers and was wet. So started getting a little bit of the shivers up there. So I burned a lot more calories. So I was like, well, you know, let's just hit this Twix bar. So I ate all four of the bars from the Twix bar, and it was great. It was wonderful. It was exactly what I needed. While I was eating, though, Laban came up behind me, and I had no idea he was there, and he scared the bejesus out of me. Oh my gosh, I jumped. He passed me by while I was finishing up my Twix, and as soon as I was done, I started running again, and I noticed that I was kind of catching up a bit. So I got up to Laban, and I was like, hey man, really like your energy. Just going to latch on and, run with you for as long as I can. And when we just stayed together and talked and enjoyed it, coming off of the Buncombe Horse Trail and onto the single track, we saw Sean Pope, who's owner of the Black Mountain Running Company. He was doing some video, so it was good to see him. And, we were just making our way down, that Buncombe Horse Trail, that single track, it just takes a long time. There are a lot of switchbacks. Just seems like the single track that will never end. It was a nice descent, but we were just running and running and running and running. It just kept on going. And we caught up with Dimitri, which was super cool. So again, the three of us back together. We got down to South Toe, to the aid station, and Charles Raffsberger, the gentleman that created the Bruce Challenge, and he's a big proponent of the Foothills Trail. He was at the aid station along with another volunteer that had helped me out at Hellbender. It was great to see again some friendly faces. I grabbed a can of Coke and just downed the can of Coke. Grabbed it. They had a few Snickers and Payday bars, so I just kind of stuffed my pack with some of those. And I was like, hey guys, I had a drop bag there too, so I resupplied my fluids. And I said to Dimitri and Laban, hey guys, just I'm gonna start heading up. I'm sure you guys will catch me up. And so I started going up South Toe, just hiking. It's an uphill going up South Toe, and then up Bald Knob. That's the last big climb of the race. That's the last one. So just hiking up, Dimitri caught up to me, and he started doing like a run walk uphill, which was impressive to watch. I just wanted to hike, so I let him go. He got up ahead. I could always see him. He wasn't, he really wasn't gaining much on me. Maybe a little bit, but not much, because I could always see him. And then Laban, he was behind me. I could see Laban. So, three of us were all in eye shot, and, Laban was, starting to run a little bit of the uphills too. Actually, it was Laban's first 50 miler. So pretty darn impressive. So we were working our way up, and then we finally got into Bald Knob, and we're going up the single track, hiking up. You know, I could see Laban kind of, you know, running to kind of catch up a little bit, and he caught up. He did catch up on the climb, and then we saw Carrie Barris, who's the RD now for Hellbender. Got to say hi to her and, you know, kind of cheer her on a little bit. And Dimitri wasn't too far ahead. So we worked our way up, and as we approached the parkway, the three of us all got together again. We were all together and made our way the parkway over to the toll road. And then we began our descent, and Laban and I kind of stayed together. Dimitri dropped off. He didn't seem to be descending as quickly as Laban and I were. Laban and I ran and started running to got to Heartbreaker, and then started making our way down Heartbreaker. The sun finally came out. It was beautiful. The descent was gorgeous. We got some beautiful views. There's a little, you know, some few little uphills, which made for nice little hiking breaks, but we were doing great. I cracked open that payday at this point and shared some with Laban. We were really just enjoying the descent. Finally, we made our way down to Star Gap, where you turn off of Heartbreaker and head down to Jarrett Creek Road. We were, you know, coming down discussing like when we would see Val, because we knew that was a long descent, and that's one of her strengths. So we were like, when are we going to see her? So we got down to Jarrett Creek Road and, you know, started, we turned, we saw two of my athletes, Heather Westberg and Paula Sheeran, and so said hi to them. I didn't recognize Paula, to be honest, in the moment. I apologize, Paula, but they were running together, so we saw them and you know, said hey to them. And there's an aid station on Jarrett Creek Road, but you have to make it a little ways before you get to it. It's at a creek crossing, because I think they use a gravity filter to get the water. So we got to the aid station. Another one of my athletes was there, Rafaela George. It was great to see her. Always a pick me up to see, you know, friends and familiar faces. And so I saw her and Merrill Glick. Good to see Merrill. Really, he's an awesome runner in his own right, and appreciate everybody volunteering. That was fantastic, because like I said, almost every aid station, I knew somebody, which was awesome. You know, it's so, like I said, just wonderful. So so we got there, picked up a few more Snickers. Those seemed to be doing me right, so grabbed a few Snickers to keep going. And all of a sudden, there was Val. Sure enough, she had caught up. She gave us that wry smile, and we said, "All right, let's get this going." So Laban had this like military caffeine gum. It had like 100 milligrams of caffeine. So he gave us each a piece, and he's like, "In about 5 minutes, this is going to taste awful." And he was straight shooting as he said that, because it was rough after 5 minutes. So that went out to the trash pile. Pretty quickly, but definitely a little pick me up. Jarrett Creek Road, for those unfamiliar, is just that. It is a dirt road, a Forest Service road. It undulates, just up and down, just rolls. There are some pretty good climbs. I think there's still a significant, maybe between 1,000 and 1,500 feet in the last 7 miles on Jarrett Creek Road. So once you get on it to Camp Greer, I think it's about 7 miles, and roughly, let's just call it 1,200 feet of gain. So there's still some up and down on that road to be done. We were basically just kind of hiking anything that was kind of long, running the stuff that wasn't too long or too steep. And Val was just killing it on the downhills. So Laban and I stuck together. And then we finally got to the last descent, and we caught up with Val, and we were moving pretty well. We got ahead of Val. Val had joked, she's like, "I'm going to kick, and out sprint you guys." And I say, "Hey, at this point, you know, pride is out the window, and it is what it is." We just were joking around, and, we were watching Val run these downhills, and I guess, we were like, "Well, let's keep pushing." So we had one final descent and caught up with Val. It's a nice long downhill, you know, a good stretch, probably over a mile, that just kind of winds downhill towards the single track that gets us back into Camp Greer. And we caught up with Val, and we're just running pretty well and enjoying the moment. And Laban actually said to me, "Hey, man, why don't you go ahead?" I said, nah, you know, there's no use in me going ahead right now. We're at the finish. I mean, what's the use of getting a minute ahead of you? But once we got in the single track, Laban just took off and totally ripped the last section in the single track, which actually stays on single track much longer than the start does, actually pops us right out by the finish. And I could hear Laban finish. I wasn't but a minute behind him and came in. That section's kind of long. It's mountain bike trails. It feels like it takes much longer than it should, but it was nice to pop out. I had gotten a text that my family was going to be there, so I was super excited to see them after missing them at Mount Mitchell. So really eager to see them, but popped out. My wife was there taking pictures. It just made me happy to see her. And she said, the kids are up ahead. And I said, oh, man. You know, so I got to see the kids, which always warms my heart. It makes me feel so good to see them and have them out there and supporting me. I appreciate them being there more than I can say. You know, Greg and Jamie and Brandon, all the race crew from Tanawha. It's just awesome to see them at the finish. Craig Marshall, just a bunch of familiar faces. Tim was there, Tim Nooney, who had won. He still hung around and wished me congratulations. So awesome. Just like I said, tons of familiar faces. Chris and Chris Sheeran was there, Paula's husband, who I also coach. So got to see him. Man, that was just, like I said, tons of familiar faces. Awesome to see. Super fun. So, you know, I finished up, gave my family big hugs, and then kind of sat down, got the shoes off and was just kind of hanging out, had some food, waiting. Michael Patton wasn't far behind. Jason Tischer wasn't far behind. So hung out for their finish. So got to see those guys come in. Tara Jordan hung around. I got to see Tara. She had won the 55K Facing Vert podcast host and previous guest here on the podcast. So wonderful to see Tara and see her, at least hear about her success. So congratulations, Tara, for your success. Just a wonderful crew. I ended up, I ran 11 hours and 30 minutes. So very happy with that result, half hour ahead of my projected time. Very pleased. I'm very pleased with that result. And I believe I was top 10 overall. I was third place in the 40 plus. But with that said, Nathan Holland was second place overall, and Nathan he's 40 year old now, but it's just so great to see him back and healthy and running. Love that guy. Love his outlook on life and everything he does. He's just a wonderful human being. So I'm so happy to see him back and having success. So congratulations, Nathan, on your second place finish. And then Kate, who won the women's division, was actually third place overall, a stellar run. I believe she was about 10 and a half hours, I want to say, without looking at results, but forgive me if I have that wrong. But incredible result. And Val was right behind me. So the 40 plus division, Laban was right ahead of me, and then his friend was right ahead of him. So we all came in 1, 2, 3. And, you know, in that succession of order of the overall as well, I believe I was either 9th or 10th overall. And so those guys were just the two places ahead of me. So pretty cool. I got a gift certificate to Mountain Running Company. So thank you, Mountain Running Company, for supporting the race. Also got another bag of whole bean coffee, which I got from South Mountains. Was just running out. So it was good timing. Very, very happy. Very happy with that race. Very happy with the result. Very happy with everybody that's part of that race. All the volunteers were wonderful. The course is amazing. Well marked. I didn't have any problems. Really enjoyed every part of it, except for obviously the weather up on Mount Mitchell, which there's nothing the race could have done about that. Just super happy we got to run the original course. I'm so happy we got to do that. It's very heavy front loaded with vertical gain. As I said, Mount Mitchell is about mile 22, and we had already gained over 10,000 feet by that point. So a lot of climbing in the front side of that race. pretty amazing. So if you do it, know that you're going to be climbing a lot at the beginning. And I'm so glad that I took it easy. Looking back at it, it was the right decision because I had the legs to run that back end. Now for Hellbender, just started talking to my crew and pacers. And I'm looking at about a 27 and a half hour projected finish. I've got my pace chart set up through Ultra Pacer. And that's going to be the goal, 27 and a half hours. I think based off of, this effort and looking at, what I did and analyzing what I did, I'm thinking that, 27 and a half hours is appropriate. So can I run faster? You know, but if I have the good training between now and Hellbender, potentially, but, you know, it all depends on what I can get in between now and then. Right now, as I talked about last week, and I want to thank everybody for their compliments on last week's episode. I am just working on absorbing the fitness from this 50 miler. I'm not running right now, just kind of walking, taking it easy, letting my body recover and absorb the fitness from this 50 miler so that I can use it for Hellbender. You know, I'm going by the rule of thumb, take a day off for every 10 miles raced. So I'm going to give my body 5 days off of running and then I'm going to start back. So, really enjoying this little break. We're on spring break here with the kids. So, just enjoying my time off and spending some time with my family. So, next up, Hellbender. Looking forward to that, obviously. Want to thank you guys for your continued support, for listening. Again, for all the compliments from the episode last week. I'll be doing more episodes like that on training and the specific aspects of training. So if there's ever any questions that you have or want me to go over, don't hesitate to reach out just like you have been. You know, ask questions. Happy to expound on different training principles and philosophies and talk about, you know, the various pieces of training and how you can better use appropriate training in your own lead up to your goal race. So please ask away. Happy to help. Really appreciate you guys. Much respect to all those who finished the 55K and the 50 miler on Saturday. Really tough course under tough conditions. So those that didn't finish, hats off to you too, because I know it was a tough day and it's a tough decision to drop out. So I hope you're okay. I hope you're not hurt and that you can keep moving forward towards your goals. But with that said, guys, until next time, keep moving forward and running is life.